and Buck Show.
What?
Oh, you guys are crewing up?
Let's do this.
Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 karat magic in the air. Head to toe, so bare. Look out.
Good morning and welcome in. It's Chuck and Buck on the Morning Sports Radio 950 KJR. My name is Chuck Powell. Bucky Jacobson is here. Slick Hawk, Niner Nate. Welcome into this Wednesday edition. Look, it's already Wednesday. How about that?
Flying by.
Football season. Next thing you know, you get your preview in Thursday night football.
Whew. Yeah.
Did we just not finish yesterday Monday night football talk?
Yeah.
Well, actually, we're not finished.
No, we got some more?
Yeah, we had some unfinished business. That's what happens when coaches lie to the media. they leave a lot of low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, too easy.
Welcome in. We have got Greg Bell coming your way. Seahawks at 7. Mike Holmgren, who we talked to yesterday at 9 o'clock. In case you missed it, we're going to replay some of that for you in the 7 o'clock hour. Of course, it's Fact or Fiction Day, just like every day is Fact or Fiction Day at 7:35. And then, of course, we're going to roll that into the Ocho at 8. Who else do we have? Jason Lockenfora today. Mama Said Mock You Out returns today. Mm. Reckless at Breakfast returns today.
Oh, boy.
Slick's not going to like today's Reckless at Breakfast. It's not going to make him feel comfortable.
Oh, no.
He's going to get a little squishy.
Well. A little squirmy.
Yeah, a little squirmy.
I mean.
In his pants.
I know there's this glass, but technically there's only 15 feet between us, so if things have to get physical.
Oh, well.
You know,
oh, boy.
Ooh. You know.
Oh.
Very threatening.
To stop me.
That's very reckless. Well, me.
Yeah.
We could start there. So, yes, it could be a little uncomfortable.
Like, do I need to leave the room?
Could dial up the heat today.
Could dial it up.
Yeah.
Look out, Slick. It's coming at you.
Yeah. So, all of that coming your way today here on the program. Plus, at some point, we haven't even heard about Niner Nate's trip to the Bay Area.
I thought that was by design.
Yeah, we didn't even hear about how wonderful everything was in his tour of the Ghirardelli Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how he went and go looked up his old high school girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
That
sounded good.
Yeah.
I don't know how Niner Kate felt about that. Niner Kate wasn't a fan.
Well, not really.
No. Well,
he was sunburned. She's a Garoppolo fan. And then everything was all right.
That's true.
It's the player that binds.
Yep. It's amazing.
Keeps families together, that Jimmy Garoppolo.
I love the Jimmy G.
The wonderful human being.
Really is.
I do love him.
I do love him. We know.
All of that, I just do love him. All right, but we'll start today with some headlines, and there are a lot of headlines. You know what I'm going to start with today? Because we're going to talk a lot of football today. Mariners officially eliminated from the American League West last night.
Oh.
So if you were still making plans, Bucky, not going to happen. Houston officially eliminated them from winning the American League West title. Now, not still alive in that wild card race.
Yeah.
Officially eliminated from winning the American League West. So I think that I can say without a shadow of a doubt, Slick Hawk and I were right. We should have been rooting for the Astros over the A's.
Okay.
No.
It's still not there with us?
That doesn't clarify it?
No.
That doesn't make it crystal clear? Oh,
no.
Okay.
All right. Crazy things have happened. It's not that crazy. Nothing that crazy is going to happen this year, obviously. Boy, it's a long... Ugh. I'm glad we don't have to talk about
nothing
it
crazy. Like what? What are you talking about? Like coming
crazy?
Back?
Well, the crazier things. I mean, Houston could have collapsed just as well as Oakland could have collapsed. It just so happens that neither of them collapsed.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that they could have.
I mean, the numbers weren't there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how Oakland continues to do this. I love this article that I read the other day, that the Oakland A's are going to make the playoffs with a D-list starting rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what it is. it was one of those years for Oakland where, I mean, granted, give them a lot of credit. Give most of the lion's share of the credit goes to them for putting together a heck of a season and a lot of young players stepping up for them and them recognizing that bullpen is more important than ever and really throwing a lot of their resources, including, I mean, I know Emilio Pagan wasn't all that great this year for the Oakland A's, but just the example of we'll trade Ryan Healy, you know, a clubbing first baseman for a middle reliever. I mean, it was sort of that mentality that they had going into the offseason, and then they doubled, tripled, quadrupled down on it at both the trading deadlines in trying to bring in relievers. So they did some smart things. They had some young players step up. They had some veterans like Jed Lowry had the best year of his career. But they are still defying all the odds. They still are making all old school baseball fans like yourself and myself a little uncomfortable with their having that much success with that bad of starting pitching. Doesn't make sense.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's where it's not one on paper, right? I mean, it's unfortunate that we looked at our starting rotation and said, gosh, we need help. We need help. We need help. And then there's parts of you or parts of me, I should say, that was like, well, you got some of these guys. Leek can step up every once in a while, and LeBlanc has shown some things here and there. And who knows if Erasmo Ramirez could come out and be good. It just so happens that our guys didn't do like what Edwin Jackson did.
Yeah.
You know, our guys didn't. And then, I mean, more importantly,
don't get me wrong, Jackson and Anderson and Cahill performed.
Yes.
It's just no one would have predicted that.
Right, right. You would consider them four or five starters, number fours, number fives, and they
actually
they
not pitched, even that. When the season
better than that.
When the season started, nobody wanted any of them.
Right.
I mean, they weren't on a roster anywhere.
Yeah. Well, everybody.
They were seventh and eighth starters.
Seventh and eighth starters?
They were LeBlancish. That's three LeBlancs. They found three LeBlancs.
Yep.
We were rummaging around looking for a leak, and we found three LeBlancs.
Yeah, they plugged some holes. Boy, they definitely did enough. I think it boiled down to the Mariners' offense just sucked flat out. They just did not perform. I mean, the Oakland A's, they're everyday guys. They got some studs. You said it from the very beginning. Watch out for those guys. I mean, the corner infielders are young. And like you said, Jed Lowry just seemed to just get on base and set the table and drive guys in. It was pretty impressive what they did. It's unfortunate that just they did it at the cost of us Mariner fans.
They're right there with the Yankees right now in terms of they still got a shot at hosting that wild card game. They're very close, kind of neck and neck at this point. So, you know, we will have some Mariner discussions here in the very near future. About the season, where it went wrong, and stuff like that. But I thought I would at least mention that. I mean, I think it was a more interesting season than a lot of people thought it was going to be here in Seattle at the beginning of the year. That being said, I never really recognized them as a true threat of winning the American League West, and I think a few people got a little carried away with that. Houston's just that talented on paper, but they're still at this point, you know, even though the plus minus doesn't suggest that they're anywhere close to a playoff team, their winning percentage suggests, man, if Oakland wouldn't have been so good, I mean, we would have still have a really interesting last couple of weeks of Major League Baseball to talk about here in Seattle.
Yeah. And then Tampa Bay coming out of nowhere to pass them. That even makes it to where it's, while they're not mathematically eliminated, the fact that they would have to have a massive collapse on both their parts and play better baseball than they've played since June means they're basically eliminated.
I heard one dude say, if the Major League Baseball regular season, if Rob Manfred would have passed a rule that it's going to be 182 games this year, that Tampa Bay would pass everybody.
I wouldn't be surprised, boy. Blake Snell throwing every 5 days, that guy is lights out.
Of course, Rob Manfred will never go to 182 games. He would like everybody to play 14. Rob Manfred really hates baseball.
Yeah.
So he really doesn't. Why are you playing so many?
Yeah.
That's stuff that people that hate baseball say.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe we could try to petition to they go to like the minor league rules where you the first half winner has a playoff spot, and then the second half winner has a playoff spot, because then we would have been in. We were looking good in the first half.
Yeah, there you go.
I just don't do that in the.
That was
big
discussed
leagues.
At one point. That was the year that they had the strike. I think they did it the year of the strike.
Really, they had the first half winner?
First half winner and the second half winner met, if I remember this correctly, because if I think the argument was way back in 80 that Montreal had the best overall record for the season and didn't make the playoffs. Something like that. I'm going to have to look that up during the break. Maybe I don't remember it as clearly as I once did, but there was something to that effect once upon a time. All right. By the way, Anthony Rizzo would also like a shorter schedule.
Huh.
Did you hear when he flew in his uniform?
No.
They put that rainout game in, and they had not had a day off in like 30 days. They played 30 straight days because of earlier rainouts. So he was angry that they took away their latest day off opportunity. So he just put his uniform on and he rode like you would on the bus going to your high school game.
And he put American Legion.
Yeah, and he put his uniform on, and he went on the flight in his uniform.
Oh, my goodness. Boy, you showed them, Rizzo. That'll do it. Jamie Christmas.
All right, a few other headlines. We're going to flush this all out for the rest of the hour, but the Hawks, of course, starting 0-2. Today is hump day, so Wednesday suggests that not only will we be reflecting upon the game from Monday night, but it's also time to transition into this week's game, put that one behind us, and talk some Dallas Cowboys a little bit later on in the show. The Chris Carson lie, what exactly is happening there with Chris Carson? I don't know if anyone knows why Pete, including Pete, said what he did after the game yesterday. So we'll find out if Chris Carson's even a part of this future plan to win games here in 2018, because it didn't look like it on Monday night. Tom Johnson was signed by the Vikings, which means that the Seahawks, after cutting their starting defensive tackle with the thought that maybe we can get him back if he clears waivers, well, he ends up signing with the Minnesota Vikings. So they lost Tom Johnson. Devils Trojans this week, meaning UW has Arizona State on Saturday night, and on Friday night, Trojans meet the Cougs, the undefeated Cougs, led by Gardner Minshew.
You love him.
I really do. I've really grown to love him. But coming up next, we'll talk about the 0-2 start for the Hawks, and maybe there's something misleading about that statistic, that 11% of teams that start 0-2 end up making the playoffs. We'll get into that next.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR. Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Just try your best. Try everything you can. And don't you worry what they tell themselves.
Out of Mesa, Arizona.
Are they?
Yeah. I met James. Welcome in. It's Sports Radio 950 KJR. My name is Chuck Powell. Bucky Jacobson here as well. Bucky Jacobson testing something that I realized just last night. Of all the things in the world that I'm worst at is sweeping. You know that.
Yep.
Told you that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ranked dead last in
right.
the world.
In the
sweeping.
World.
Capable human beings, sweeping, I'm worst. The worst in the world.
Really?
There was a kid from Ecuador, 19-year-old, because we don't go under 18 for these rankings. 19-year-old kid from Ecuador who was challenging me there for a while.
Really?
But no, I am the worst sweeper in the world.
Just kept sweeping stuff out of a pile?
Yep. But the thing that I am best at, returning pens.
Really?
No one in the world is better at returning pens than I am. So you will get this back, sir.
Oh, thank you.
You will not, because I can't risk my number one ranking in the world.
That's true.
By Pen Returning Magazine.
That's true. That's
yeah.
very true.
How I was the centerfold.
How does Although, one do poorly with sweeping?
You would be surprised. Like, you know how you're supposed to put it into one pile?
Yeah.
I will take an area and then I will make it worse. I like scatter it even more. I don't know. They're not doing something right. There's something off in my technique.
Here's
the cool thing, though. I don't want to learn.
No?
Yeah.
You're okay with it.
Really convenient excuse.
Well, you can't be great at everything, Chuck.
Exactly. I'm great at returning pens.
Yeah.
The two just don't go hand in hand.
No hurry on returning that, because I just went and got the old Fancy Nancy four-color pen.
Is that Fancy Nancy?
It's not fancy
That's
at all.
That's nostalgic.
It was fancy when I was in third grade.
It was.
And I literally, for like 2 weeks, have been like, I'm going to go get me some of those.
I want that.
I want the four-color pen back. And I did. And I got a binder. I'm not professional, but I'm faking it.
It's funny that you mentioned Mesa, Arizona, by the way. I discovered one night in Mesa, Arizona, the wonder and joy that is Filiberto's Taco Stand.
Oh, I bet it's the old Berto's family of tacos.
Yeah.
There's Berto's everywhere.
Are they really?
Roberto's, Filiberto's, Janiberto's, and it's every kind of Berto's that you'd want.
Really?
And it's this just little old taco stand. And by the way, no one's really convinced that what you're eating is chicken or beef.
That's fine.
Just so you know.
That's fine. I was 19, I had no cares.
But the Berto family of Mexican cuisine, yes. They're all over the place.
Huh.
And people from Arizona, it's like they grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the first things they do when they get, if they like moved away, they'll get there and go satisfy the craving.
Yeah.
Because it's everybody's college staple. College.
Berto's, yep.
Yeah. One of the Berto family.
Just like if I go back to California, In-N-Out.
There you go. All right. So we've got a football team that has started the season at 0-2. The Seahawks losing to the Chicago Bears Monday Night Football. And, of course, here come all the stats that pour out about 0-2 teams in the National Football League, that only 11% of them rally from an 0-2 start and make the postseason. And I would argue that the reason that that's the case is because those are bad teams that usually start 0-2. The majority of them aren't any good. I don't think 0-2 is a death sentence. I think if you went back through history, and I haven't done the legwork necessarily on this, but if you went back through history, you would find that a lot of the 0-2 teams that did recover going on and end up making the playoffs were probably good teams. They're probably considered good teams before the season started and probably had a couple of tough games on the schedule or maybe just got off to a slow start, had a new coach, whatever the case may be. Hey, 2015, Seahawks started 0-2. I don't remember there being a lot of panic. I mean, I remember it being uncomfortable because people weren't used to the Seahawks being 0-2 football team. But coming off back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, everybody knew they had a good roster. Now, they're playing without Cam Chancellor at that point, and then he comes back in that game four, that Detroit game, and ends up making, you know, maybe the best play of the season that year. But that team ended up making the playoffs. You want to know why that team ended up making the playoffs? Because that was a playoff team.
Yes.
That was a team on paper that roster that went to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years. I mean, that team was playoff caliber. And an 0-2 start, even the holdout of Chancellor, I think they might have recovered from. There was so much talent there, which is amazing to me, Bucky, that so many people has just thought that all the players that left this offseason, and I'm not everybody, but a lot of people out there, like, you know, those guys were done. Those guys were washed up. We're better off without them.
Okay.
That sort of thing. So you have 5-6 guys that were Pro Bowl caliber and still playing, by the way. Cam was still playing at a really high level when he got hurt. Richard was playing at a really high level when he got hurt. Michael Bennett, we saw some decline in his game last year, but still pretty good football player for them. Cliff Avril was playing at a really high level when he got hurt. So you lose 5 or 6 of them, good luck trying to recover. You lose one of them, I don't think anybody panics. But that season started 0-2. And a team that was on paper, a very good team on paper, ended up rallying from that and making the playoffs. It's not a death sentence. Now, the question you got to ask yourself is this 28 Seahawks team a playoff team on paper? Well, you know my answer. I don't think so. So, this isn't about being 0-2 has doomed you. It's always a little bit more about not having a good enough roster.
Yeah.
Has doomed you.
Yes, I don't. I think if you would ask just about any Seahawk fan at the beginning of the year, they wouldn't have liked the fact that they had to go on the road twice, and you can add that potentially into the mix, but they would have liked the opponents that they were going on the road against, or they would have thought, okay, after two games, it's not whether it's this roster or last year's roster, they would have thought, there's a good chance we could be 2-0, and at worst, 1-1. Lose one of those games, but we're not going to lose both. We're not going to be coming into this thing 0-2 the third week. And unfortunately, this is not the as you guys know, the roster or the schedule is not going to get any easier. So I don't know for sure if this roster has what it takes to overcome an 0-2 start with the gauntlet that is, you know, playing the Rams two more times, playing San Francisco two more times. That's just inside their division. Not to mention the Green Bay games and some of the other tough ones they have out there. So,
well, they're going to sweep the Niners. I mean, that's clear.
Well, the oh my gosh. Oh. You just dumbfounded him. What? What?
A sour look on his face.
Don't laugh like it's not true. That's the best news I've got all week. Let's just go with it.
Let's just go with it.
Let's just
I'm not laughing cuz it's not true. I'm laughing at the that wasn't even a look of
what?
Wait a minute. I don't think that that's true. That was a look of, I just ate like three lemons.
Yes.
Rinds and all.
Yes.
Like, what? That smelled.
For a
Who
moment.
Who farted? That was that. That's what that look was. Who farted? I'm alone in here, and I don't think I did.
Yeah. I think he literally respects your opinion on most things when it comes to sports, and you just said that, and he thought,
what?
You might be the dumbest person ever to talk about sports.
Something just die in here?
We have Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah, Garoppolo.
Garoppolo doesn't get swept.
Yeah.
Garoppolo. They got Minnesota. They got Kansas City. They got a rough road to hoe, and it's starting out 0-2 is less than ideal. I would say that they're definitely closer to the side of teams that the 89% that don't make the playoffs. I would say that a lot of those teams, they don't make the playoffs after 0-2 because they're not good teams.
I think when the schedule came out, I think a lot of us thought it looked pretty favorable. Early season. This is the kind of schedule that you need for a team that is resetting with a lot of new faces, a new offensive coordinator, because there are bound to be some growing pains. I mean, I guess there is that chance that, boy, you just click with that coordinator and everything flies. But when you're sitting there in week number two of the regular season and there's a little bit of bickering as Russell Wilson's changing plays and Schottenheimer's calling timeouts.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like that you changed his play. And then Russell comes off the field like, I got this.
I had that.
You know? So there's obviously... It's not going smoothly to this point. Doesn't mean that it won't iron out, but that was the part of the schedule to sort of capitalize on. Well, the Broncos won five games last year.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears won five games last year. You know, I mean, those, I know they're road games, but I remember when the schedule came out and you thought, okay, nobody likes to start on the road for two games, but those two teams weren't very good last season.
Right.
And then your home opener. You know, everybody's going to be flying high at CenturyLink. It's the best home field advantage in football. And so Dallas isn't a world beater. And then you got Arizona, who everybody is sort of in agreement. That's the last place team. That's a pretty good way to start. I mean, if you're going to start a schedule and you're going to be in transition from what you were to what you want to be, that seemed like a pretty good foursome to start with.
Well, 3-1 seemed like it was going to be necessary, but it seemed really doable with that schedule. I mean, 3 of the 4 on the road, yeah. But Dallas at home, when you looked at the schedule, you didn't think that was any huge problem. You mentioned the 2 5-win teams on the road, and then Arizona, yeah. They're a crap sandwich. So, but now everything's in play.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then the closer we got to the regular season... And then you're dealing with a Baldwin injury. No pass rusher has shown up in the preseason, so you're wondering, well, there's a hole. KJ Wright gets hurt. Right corner, Trey Flowers? Really? Akeem King in game number 2? Were they on anybody's radar to be your starting right corner? And then all of a sudden you realize that, man, this is Broncos and Bears don't look so easy anymore. And they just added Khalil Mack?
Yeah, well, that's changed them.
So, yes, it's now an 0-2 start for the Hawks. Normally, you know, I'd be sitting here telling you, like, okay, if you got a good team, you can overcome 0-2. But look at the teams that are 0-2 right now. Arizona, Oakland, Detroit, the Giants, the Bills, the Texans, and now the Seahawks. I mean, most of those teams you wouldn't have put in the playoffs at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I kind of like Detroit. Maybe they can rally. They're also in transition. They not only have new coordinators, they have a new head coach that they're dealing with. And I think a lot of people like Houston and were intrigued by what Deshaun Watson could do in his second year. But I don't think anybody else was putting any of those teams near the playoffs, much less calling them playoff teams. So that's what we're talking about here. 11% of teams that start 0-2 end up making the playoffs. Well, when you run down the list of teams, and that's just the 2018 season, they go 0-2, you're like, well, there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bulk of them are bad. So the question is, where do the Seahawks lie in this? I will just say, if you think the Seahawks are on paper a playoff team, and there are a lot of you out there because you thought I was an idiot. I know that. I won't say that they thought you were idiots, but I'm sure you got a few texts as well.
Oh, yeah.
Not giving them enough credit, not giving Pete credit, but you thought I was an idiot for suggesting that they weren't going to make the playoffs, and without Earl, they stood no chance. So, if you believe, no, this was a playoff team all along, those were necessary cuts, and we're just fine. Long season ahead. Then I wouldn't panic over 0-2. You got a good team. A good team overcomes an 0-2 start, especially an 0-2 start on the road.
Yep.
Okay? But if you're on the side of things of, well, you know what? The reason that the Seahawks are 0-2 is because they weren't as good as the Bears and the Broncos in weeks 0-2. And I don't know how many wins are in the crystal ball for this team in this upcoming year. Then it shouldn't come as all that big a surprise.
No. I mean, I don't think... I think that there's a lot of people that were realistic coming into this thing, possibly thinking that this might not be a playoff team, but then that they still had hopes, and they were hoping that their hopes wouldn't be dashed. And they're not dashed. There is a lot of games left to be played. You start the season 3 out of 4 games on the road, but they're against 4 opponents that you feel like you should possibly win. So that let you go through the middle of the season, that gauntlet of games. And not all of them are a gauntlet. You got Oakland and Detroit in there, but those aren't cakewalks, I wouldn't say. And then you finish a road with 4 out of 5 at home. So I think that you just start, you paint yourself into a corner. And I personally don't think that this team right now, they're going to be better. They're going to play better throughout the course of this season. I think we would all agree on that, but I don't know for sure if they're the type of team that can run through the schedule that they have. The opponents they have to play with too much of a deficit. I mean, I would say that these next 2 games, Dallas and Arizona, they better win those 2 if they want to have a chance. I mean, if they want to have any chance, you end up being 1-3 going in and having to have the host the Rams. Boy, that's looking like a 1-4 right smack dab in the face. So,
yeah. Well, if this makes you feel any better, CBS Sports came out with just this morning, like the chances of the 0-2 teams to still make the playoffs. And of those 0-2 teams, Seahawks, they say, have the second best chance. Bills last.
Okay. Who'd they give the first? Detroit?
Number one is Houston.
Houston, okay.
So the idea that, I mean, Houston's really banged up. Seahawks are banged up right now, and it's who's banged up on the Seahawks. It's not necessarily the length of the list. It's the players that are missing right now. I mean, Wagner, Wright, and Baldwin. And there's an argument to be made right there. All right, so if Chicago looks like they're going to be a little bit better this year, second-year quarterback versus a rookie quarterback, they've added a bunch of weapons in their offense. They got a new offensive coordinator who doesn't have a system that is being run from 1944 like John Fox did. They already had some pieces on defense, and now you add Khalil Mack, a complete game changer. I mean, I think somebody could legitimately, a Seahawks fan could be sitting there saying, you know, I don't feel too terribly bad about that loss because we couldn't have played worse. Home opener for them. They're a better team. Better days ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, we played without KJ Wright. We lost by 7. We played without KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, and our only legitimate weapon in the passing game.
Right.
So, you know, you can cloak yourself in that little blanket, make yourself feel warmer on a cold day.
Right.
Houston has just as many injuries. I mean, they're suffering through a lot of things right now on their injury list, and Deshaun Watson has not bounced back. He has not had a good first couple of weeks. But if I'm a Houston fan, I'm sitting there going, okay, so we're losing because we're not getting production out of J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson? Yeah, I think I feel pretty good that those two guys are going to come around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not over
for no. us.
It's not no. over. But if you are in Buffalo and you watched what happened to you the first two games, you might go ahead and count yourself in that category of, yeah, a lot of O2 teams are just bad.
Yeah.
We're one of them.
Yeah, you're pulling a pocket and looking at the draft rankings for next year already. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, the thing is, one point that we talked about earlier leading up to this season was, all right, well, let's see. There's some people out there that think that these guys, you can replace these guys. Well, then what do you do when you have injuries? Because the guys that they're replacing now they're now starters, and now what if they get hurt? So, the other cornerback spot on the opposite side of Shaquille was supposed to be Byron Maxwell at one point in time. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make the team because he's hurt. Then all of a sudden you have Trey Flowers. Well, then he's hurt, and now you got your third string guy in on the, and he ends up giving up one of the touchdowns. I don't know for sure if the depth is there, let alone the starting.
Because Dante Johnson.
Dante Johnson was.
Yeah.
So yeah, now you're talking about, I mean, your depth.
Yeah.
I've heard Sleacock say it many times. When these guys were good, their depth was unbelievable. Well, their depth isn't unbelievable right now. I don't even know. They have some question marks at the starters because of the places that are injured, people that are injured. All of a sudden you're signing Kendricks because they didn't like how Shaquem played the first game in replacing KJ Wright. So
yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of question marks out there right now.
Moral of the story is an 0-2 deficit is a lot easier to overcome than a bad roster.
There you go. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And so where do we lie?
So if you're sitting there like, no, well, this is a playoff roster, I wouldn't be too worried about the 0-2 start.
Hmm.
You know? If you are in the camp of, I kind of resigned myself to this, then this is a season of, I think you got an excellent opportunity. Jason Witten said it during the broadcast on Monday night. I think they're kidding themselves if they think this is not a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, watch the team grow. Find the pieces that you need. If it is a rebuild, if it really is a rebuild, you know. And by the way, if Chris Carson really wasn't cast. If it really is a rebuild, I have, and I think that it is, I have every belief, because I'm one of those guys who's like, a rebuild in the National Football League, you better not be more than 2 years. You better have a plan. I think this is going to be a really quick turnaround. That's the plan. I think it is a rebuild. They just didn't want to sell the public that. But it's going to be a quick rebuild. It is, like I said before, I don't think anybody's going to cry over there in Renton if this is a 6-10 season.
No.
Get a top 10 pick, get a true pass rusher that can make an impact immediately next year. Introduce, get your quarterback, have a step back season, rein him in. Ryan Schottenheimer cracks the whip a little bit. Teach him, fill in the holes to his game,
right.
And then let the full package be revealed next year mm-hmm. after a few hard lessons learned. And have a few of these rookies come through, these young people, players with a little more experience. I think it could be a really quick turnaround, but I think it is what it is. If it quacks like a duck and it walks like a duck, it's a duck.
Good chance it's a duck.
All right, coming up next, all right, where do we sit with Chris Carson? Is he going to start? Is he going to play at all? How do we come away? What do we come away with from all of the drama and the sex, lies, and videotape action that took place yesterday with this running back and the running back situation? We'll talk about it next.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what's your fantasy.
Fact or fiction? Ludacris wants to lick you from your head to your toes.
Fiction.
Fiction? He really doesn't want to do that?
Not me.
Well, I'm just...
I mean, a person?
Probably depends on the person. I want everybody to ask themselves that, not just you. I want everybody listening to ask. Does he really want to do this to me? Is he even asking my opinion?
He's not asking.
No. Well,
but he's just letting you know.
Yeah, he's just kind of letting you know. Like this.
Tongue's ready.
Here's the situation.
Tongue is ready. I'm going to lick it up.
Fact or Fiction is presented by the Emerald Queen Casino. We'll be doing again today at 7:35. Your opportunity to win $1,000 in cash from our friends at the Emerald Queen Casino, where no one will lick you from your head to your toes.
That's a promise.
At 7:35, I guess I'm making the pick today, correct? You will listen to my pick, and then you will probably, within 12 minutes, text fiction. If you're smart, if you're following along with the program, you will then text fiction. 49451.
Have you got one?
Huh?
Did you get one yet?
No, I'm 0-3.
Come on,
did
I got you one.
Did we get the over-under with the listener, by the way?
Pretty sure we got the under, yeah.
Had to have been.
We must have.
Wasn't it 42 and a half?
Yeah.
And the Nelsons. 20.
Oh, wait. Was it right at 42? What was the score? 20?
We got it. It was under 43. 71. It was under 43.
Then we won.
Yeah.
So hey. Do I get that one?
No.
Because I let them pick for me.
No.
That's one of those things that's like, I would never, ever even allow you, if they lost, to make that on my record. But now that they won.
Now you want it.
Right.
Yeah, I bet.
Do you have breaking news?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were coming out with some breaking news. That's not very breaking news.
Oh, yeah, no.
Close.
Okay, so we got some waiver wire Wednesday here in a moment, but I guess my first one is Chris Carson. I mean, what do you do with him now, Chris Carson, for your waiver wire Wednesday? How do you read the Seahawks running back situation here, Slickhawk?
All the pressure that's being put on Pete Carroll, if I'm a fantasy owner, I mean, I would imagine, it being a home game especially, that Chris Carson is going to get, you know, Pete Carroll will have worked out whatever fatigue issues he thought he read in Chris Carson or in Brian Schneider or whatever, and that Carson's going to get a pretty decent workload. That's what I would think. That said, I don't know what that guy's doing over there.
Okay, it's one of two things, though, happened. And this is what I drove home with after discussing it for 4 hours and thinking about it for 24 hours. What I drove home with yesterday is I think it has to do with one of two things. Because keep in mind, all right, so Carson gets only 6 carries. His last carry comes to the 11:45 mark in the second quarter. Afterwards, Pete says he was gassed and we just didn't want to put him in.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to give Penny a look. Next morning, special teams coordinator claims, well, he was taken off special teams after 2 plays because he was being effective in the running game. Pete says he wasn't really tired. This is Pete yesterday. He wasn't really tired. You know, it was just one of those situations where we wanted to give Penny a look. So I thought Carson was Pete's guy. And maybe Penny is John's guy. I don't know. Or maybe Penny's even more Pete's guy than Carson was Pete's guy. But this is one of two things in my estimation. It's either, no, I really think Rashad Penny, there's a reason we took him in the first round. He's more dynamic, he's a better running back, and we got to get that thing going now. Or the other thing is, and Bucky kind of hit on this yesterday, Carson got hurt on special teams yesterday. And Pete didn't want to admit that he had a starting running back playing special teams and he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because what did Coach Holmgren say yesterday?
That's what Coach Holmgren thinks.
What did Coach Holmgren say yesterday?
He must have got hurt.
Yeah.
My starting running back does not play special teams.
Yeah, it's not very smart.
And I don't think many coaches out there have their starting running back play special teams.
Holmgren also said he must have gotten hurt or something like that.
So is Carson a play or no?
One more week. I gotta. If I need him, I'm using him, like in a flex or something. Like, I need him in one league. I'm still going to play him.
Mm. Okay. He's on my bench.
It's risky.
All right. What else you got for us there?
Just a couple of things. Joe Mixon not going to play this week, so Giovanni Bernard, if he's out there, he's not going to be out there in a lot of leagues, but if he is, go and grab him. Chris Ivory is somebody to kind of get and stash for later. Not only does LeSean McCoy have an injured rib situation, he cracked his rib cartilage, but now there are new developments in his legal battle going on, so that could kind of rear its ugly head again. He could find himself on the commissioner's exempt list later on this season. So Chris Ivory might be nice to have as a backup to him.
Three questions, 15 seconds each. That's all I have time for.
Okay.
Would you trade for Josh Gordon right now?
No.
I would. Carson Wentz, will he hit the ground running starting this week, or will it take a while?
It'll take a while. He doesn't look like he's moving that nimbly.
I agree. Sony Michel, I have a sneaky in our league. I kind of want to play him this week. I got a sneaky. He got a little bit of taste, and he's going
to be... It's a good week to play him because Belichick wants to see still what he can do out there. But any running back for the Patriots is a risky play.
It's that old Shanahan used to do that. Ball is running. You never knew which one to play.
Yeah. I still like James White, especially in a PPR, just because they like him catching out of the backfield.
I like Greg Bell, and he's going to join us next for a little Seahawks at 7. Let's see what he found out about Chris Carson.